بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Tonight's first topic, إن شاء الله تعالى, will be and his wives, meaning the Prophet's wives, صلى الله عليه وسلم, are there the believers' mothers, meaning the mothers of the believers. The first question is, what does it really mean for them to be mothers of the believers? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they are ummahatul mu'mineen in this chapter of Surah Al-Ahzab. And there it is, the Prophet ﷺ is closer to the believers than their own selves, and his wives are their believers' mothers as regards respect and marriage, and that's an explanation. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet in another verse, this is chapter 33, yes, from Surah Al-Ahzab, and verse 6, chapter 33, verse 6. Allah the Most High also mentioned in another verse in the Quran, which is Surah Al-Mujadala 58 verse 2. Verse 2, chapter 58 verse 2, mentioned in that sense that the mother is Al-Walida, the mother is the that we know of, that is, who gives birth to the children. In ummahatuhum illa allai waladnahum, those among you who make their wives unlawful to them by saying to them, you are like my mother's back, they cannot be their mothers, they cannot be their mothers. None can be their mothers except those who gave them birth. So this is the definition of the mother. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be mothers of the believers. And we know that the book of Allah is not contradictory and there is no incongruity in it. And therefore it is to be therefore discussed what is meant by the mothers of the believers. So we relate inshallah the sayings of the scholars of Islam regarding this matter. Qatada rahimahullah ta'ala explained, wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum, and their wives are the believers' mothers. He said, giving them their rights and magnifying their rights. And Ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullah said, they are the mothers in hurma, in being forbidden to marry them, because no believer is to marry from the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is prohibited to marry any of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives in his life if he divorces any of them, nor after his death. They are forbidden upon every believer, like the believer's own mother. And Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala also added, وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ, and his wives are their believers' mothers. He said this, you know, is meant in some sense and yet not in another. ذَلِك, and that means that the believers can never marry them, as they cannot marry their mothers who gave birth to them. But as far as their daughters, then they can marry from the believers. And the evidence for that, Imam al-Shafi'i explained, the evidence is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Fatima in marriage, and Fatima is his daughter, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter, and he is the father of the believers, and she is the daughter of Khadija, the mother of the believers, gave her to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and also gave in marriage Ruqayya wa Ummu Kalthum, both his daughters, to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu while in Medina, and also Zainab bint Salama also got married. Furthermore, Ibn Jarir al-Tabari rahimahullah said, this forbiddance in the sense that no one can marry them after the Prophet ﷺ's death, in the same way that no one can marry his mother. And Al-Qurtubi also emphasized that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited their marriage, and that gives them a magnification of their status. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that all the Muslims are in agreement on forbidding the marriage to those wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after his death, and that they to be respected. And they are not like the mothers that we know of, meaning the quote unquote the mothers who give birth to us. And in that sense, no one is to be secluded with the Prophet's wives, to have seclusion with them, as a man may take his own maharim, you know, his own family, his mother and her daughters and etc., and travel with them. But the case with the believers, mothers, is different, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them with the hijab. Qala Allah ta'ala in chapter 33, brother Thamir, 33 verse 59, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu قل لأزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن ذلك أدنى أن يعرفن فلا يؤذين. Chapter 33 verse 59, and in also the same chapter verse 53 also, if you could inshallah post that. Chapter 33, Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33 verse 59. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, O Prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers to draw their cloaks, their veils all over their bodies, that is, screen themselves completely except the eyes or one eye to see the way, and that will be better, that they should be known as free, respectable women, so as not to be annoyed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ever of forgiving, most merciful. And also in the same surah, but verse 53, Allah says, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فاسألوهن من وراء حجاب. But when you and when you ask his wives for anything you want, ask them from behind a screen. That is purer for your hearts and for their hearts. And it is not right for you that you should annoy Allah's Messenger, nor that you should ever marry his wives after him, meaning after his death. Verily Allah, with Allah, that shall be an enormity. So they are mothers of the believers in this forbiddance, in respect, in honoring, and in magnification. And from the contemporary scholars, Sheikh Muhammad Al-Amin Al-Shanqiti rahimahullah ta'ala, after he related these words of Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he said, yes, chapter 33 verse 53, the same, but verse 53 now, he said, and what Ibn Kathir said about the mother's believers forbiddance to get married to and respecting them, all of that, he said, this is clear. So inshallah we continue therefore. So Imam al-Shanqiti rahimahullah is mentioning that what Ibn Kathir radiallahu anhu intended in the meaning of the mothers of the believers is to respect them and their forbiddance as that of our mothers, our own mothers, and respect them and magnify their status and their nobility. He said, all of this is wadih, la ishkala fi, is all clear and no problem with that. And it is evident from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ فَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. And when you ask his wives for anything you want, ask them from behind the screen. And because a man would not ask his mother, real mother, from behind the screen. And then concerning Surah Al-Mujadala, and that's where, you know, the Shaykh is making these two verses in agreement, you know, so that people don't think that they are in contradiction. He's saying, as Surah Al-Mujadala, which is chapter 58 verse 2, in أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا اللَّائِ وَلَدْنَهُمْ, none can be their mothers except those who share birth with them. You know, then it becomes in agreement with this verse of chapter 33, verse 53, which you see there, you know, because in this sense, the mothers of the believers, the Prophet's wives, did not give birth to all of the believers. They did not give birth to all of the believers. So, alhamdulillah, therefore, there is no contradiction. And therefore, it's clear that وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ, and his wives being the believers' mothers, and in أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا اللَّائِي وَلَدْنَهُمْ, and their mothers can be no more than those who gave birth to them, alaykum as-salam, are in agreement. So this motherhood, therefore, motherhood is of two kinds, alaykum as-salam, wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, brother Abdul Rahman. He said, "Umuma diniya," meaning a motherhood, a religious motherhood, meaning its cause is the deen, is the religion, and that's what fits the mothers of the believers for them being under this title, meaning umuma diniya, a religious type of motherhood, and they are like, you know, to the believers, you know, are like their mothers from one angle, that they cannot marry them, and they deserve their respect and they deserve their honor and etc., and they cannot marry them after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's death, nor in his life if he divorces any one of them, as because of them being the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this kind of religious motherhood necessitates their respect and giving them the due rights they deserve, like our mothers. Allah said in Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 53, وَلَا أَن تَنْكِحُوا أَزْوَاجَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ أَبَدًا إِنَّ ذَلِكُمْ كَانَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمًا, nor that you should ever marry his wives after him, his death. Verily with Allah, that shall be an enormity. So from the reason of religion, they are being called mothers, but with this specificity. Also, their motherhood does not necessitate any inheritance, like the motherhood of lineage. So that tells us that there is the other type of motherhood which we know of, and this is the motherhood of lineage, which came in Surah Al-Mujadala, chapter 58, verse 2. So in summary about this subject, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since he was to the believers like their father, nourishing them as the father nourishes his sons and daughters, then that necessitated that his wives be like their mothers in forbiddance to marry, and respect and honorability, not have seclusion with them, etc. This is the summary by Sheikh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di, the renowned mufassir who died 50 years ago, rahimahullah. So this explains now the meaning of the mothers of the Vedas. What does it really mean? Now, if it is said that this, and the second discussion is, if it is said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives are our mothers, the mothers of the believers, then is it also proper to say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our father? And this is an important matter which the people of knowledge have dealt with in their tafsir. And that's why Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah said, فَإِنَّ نِسَاءَهُ إِنَّمَا كُنَّ أُمَّهَاتُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ تَبَعًا لَهُ. His wives became mothers of the believers, تَبَعًا لَهُ, meaning in relation to him. لَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَالْأَبْ, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَالْأَبْ, had it not been that he is like the father, لَمْ يَكُنْ نِسَاءُهُ كَالْأُمَّهَاتِ, then his wives would not have been like our, like mothers. So the Prophet ﷺ is a father of the believers. And what type of fatherhood is this? A religious fatherhood, meaning that he nourishes them, directs them to all that which is good, and that to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be obedient on his deen. In fact, all the prophets were like fathers to their nations. All the prophets were like fathers to their nations. Sister Stevie, if you are here, Brother Abdurrahman, maybe Abdurrahman tonight, inshallah, can help. Sister Stevie last night, inshallah, can help. If you could admin. Naam. Religious mothers. Now, our mothers are mothers by lineage. They differ. They have their certain characteristics, of course. And they differ from the mothers of the believers in other senses, which we described earlier. That's why Mujahid rahimahullah said, kullu nabiyyin abun li ummatihi, each prophet is a father to his nation. Why? Because they nasahu li ummihim, they gave admonishment and advice to their nations and guided them to all that is good and forbade them to do what's evil. And this is also verified, this meaning is verified in the authentic sunnah from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما أنا لكم بمنزلة الوالد أعلمكم. I am to you is like in the status of a father who teaches you, صلى الله عليه وسلم. That's why الشيخ السعدي المفسر رحمه الله said, وهو أب للمؤمنين, and he is a father for the believers. As in one recitation of the Quran, yet it is not a famous recitation, and he nourishes them as the father nourishes his children. Some of the people of knowledge are with the opinion that it is not correct to say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to say him that he is a father of the believers. And their evidence was this ayah, which is ayah from Surah Al-Ahzab. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Kairun san. Brother Tamir, Al-Ahzab 33 verse 40. ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. 33 verse 40. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Yes, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is not the father of any man among you, but he is the messenger of Allah and the last end of prophets, and Allah is ever all aware. So they said, he is like their father, okay, but he is not a father. But Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi answered by saying, the correct is to say that he is a father of the believers, from the religious aspect, not from the lineage aspect, just like the mothers of the believers. And therefore, there is no contradiction between fatherhood affirmed to him, as in the authentic narration which we gave earlier, and that which is negated to him, as in this ayah which you read. Because what you read in this ayah, what is negated is his lineage. But that affirmed by the scholars, and in that hadith, alhamdulillah, there is no problem with that. And that's why Al-Shaykh Al-Shanqiti, rahimahullah, this great alim of our times, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, and it's understood from the saying, وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَبَرَكَاتُهُ إِظْهَارُ الْحَقِّ. And it's understood from the saying of Allah, وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ, and his wives are the believers' mothers, that he, صلى الله عليه وسلم, is a father to them. And it has been narrated from the way of Ubay bin Ka'b wa bin Abbas, that they recited from the Quran, وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ وَهُوَ أَبٌ لَهُمْ وَهُوَ أَبٌ لَهُمْ, that he is a father to them. وهذه الأبوة أبوة دينية. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. And this fatherhood is a religious fatherhood, for he is, most kind of fathers, who is caring about his children. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described his kindness and his mercy in Surah At-Tawbah, which is verse 9, 128. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh all. Verse 9, 128. عزيزٌ عليه ما عنتم حريصٌ عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوفٌ رحيم. Verily there has come to you a messenger, صلى الله عليه وسلم, from amongst yourselves, meaning whom you know you well. It grieves him that you should receive an injury or difficulty. He, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, is anxious over you to be rightly guided, for the believers full of pity, kind and merciful. And therefore his prophethood is not a lineage one, as explained in the ayah that we just posted up there, that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is not the father of any man among you. This fatherhood negated here is the fatherhood of lineage. And therefore, in summary now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a father of the believers, a religious way, and it exceeds the fatherhood of lineage, and exceeds it in honor and status and affair. That's why he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. None of you really will attain the true faith until I become more beloved to him from his father or his children or rest of mankind. And the hadith in this regard are many, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now we come, na'am, alhamdulillah, then we come inshallah to a different chapter in this regard. Do those wives whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did contract with them, but he did not actualize the marriage, could or are they included as being from Ummahat al-Mu'mineen? We will come to know inshallah of the names of each and every one of the Prophet's wives shortly, whom he really actually married, and those who had been described in the Quran as being mothers of the believers. But as for of those, as far as those whom he engaged to, yet he didn't marry, from them are the one who offered himself to him and he didn't marry her, and they were about four or five, like one by the name of Al-Juniya. She, when he entered Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on his marriage night with her, she said, "I seek refuge from you." So he left her, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Another one by Al-Kalbiya, he saw a flank or in her waist, on her side, some kind of a disease, lecoma, so he didn't really enter that night. And also that who offered herself to him, but then he married her to someone else, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So would they be considered to be from the ummahat al-mu'mineen? Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, breaking again, Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said, anyone whom he sallallahu alaihi wasallam separated from and did not actualize the marriage with her, the ruling cannot apply to her, as that applied for those upon those whom he sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually married, and he died and left them after him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salah and salam be upon him and his families and his children. Let's now enumerate the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. They are 11. While in his life, two of them died, and after him, nine survived after he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First of them is Khadija bint Khuwaylid. Khadija, yes, those who he really actualized the marriage with them. First of all is Khadija bint Khuwaylid. He married her before the prophethood, while she was 40 years of age, and he didn't marry any other one besides her until after she died, and all of his children are from her except Ibrahim, who was from the Coptic Mary, Maria al-Qubtiyya. She, Khadija, is the one who stood by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and comforted him with herself as well as with money and wealth. She died before Hijra, 3 years before Hijra. From her qualities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent her the salam with Jibreel alayhi salam. Ata Jibreel, in the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, Ata Jibreel, the Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, أَقْرِعْ عَلَيْهَا السَّلَامَ مِنْ رَبِّهَا وَمِنِّي. Relate to her the salam from her Rabb Allah and from me. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And give her the good news about a house in paradise, house of peace with no toil. And from her qualities, she really never set him angry. And from her qualities, she was the first woman to believe in him, to believe in Allah first and in his messenger from this ummah. So this is the first wife. The second wife, after she died, a few days after her death, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Brother Jan Baz 3, if you please you know, don't paste anything until inshallah you ask permission, because you know we have this lecture, and we welcome all of you inshallah. So we kindly ask you to stop pasting. It is not of the practice of this room to do that, except for those who inshallah are given the permission to do that. If you could kindly hold it. Brother Jan Baz, the second, barakallahu fik, the second after the Khadija's wife, Khadija's death, Sauda bin Zam'a, bint Zam'a, bin Qais al-Qurashiyya radiyallahu anha. And she used to give her night to Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha when she, you know, she was old. Naam. In order to be near and close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and because of her love to her, and she was satisfied even with that, preferring the satisfaction and comfort of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She died in the last part of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu rule. May Allah be pleased with her and with all of the companions. So this is the second one. The third, then he after that, he married Aisha bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq in the month of Shawwal, 2 years or 3 years before Hijrah, while he engaged to her when she was 6, and he actually commenced the marriage while she was 9 years of age. From her qualities, she was the most beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as confirmed in Sahih al-Bukhari, أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْكَ, who from amongst mankind are most beloved to you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad, when he was asked, قَالَ عَائِشَة, he said عَائِشَة. Then he was asked, and from amongst men, he said, her father. This is an agreed upon hadith. She was the only virgin that he married, and from her qualities is that the revelation, Jibreel alayhi salam used to descend with the revelation while he is in her bed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith reported by al-Bukhari, Ya Ummu Salama, addressing Ummu Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha, La tu'dhini fi Aisha, don't hurt me regarding Aisha. Fa'inni wallah ma nazala alayya al-wahi wa ana fi lihaf imra'atin min kunna ghayraha. Indeed, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wahi, the revelation, did not descend upon me, and while I am in the bed of any one of you except her. And one of her characteristics is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rid her free of what she was accused of by the people who accused her and accused her chastity. The hypocrites, and Allah freed her of that and rid her of that in a Quran which is recited by Muslims until the day of resurrection. and testified to her that she is from the good, from the tayyibat, and Allah promised her forgiveness and abundant provisions. And from her characteristics is that she was of the outstanding woman in her fiqh and her understanding of deen, the most knowledgeable. In fact, she was the most knowledgeable of the women of the ummah. In fact, the elder of the sahaba used to refer to her and to her sayings and seek fatwa from her. And from her qualities, that Rasulullah died in her room, in her house, and in her day, and he was buried in the same place where he died. He died while she was 18 years of old. She died in Medina, and she is buried in Al-Baqi'. You know Al-Baqi'? Those who came to Medina would know of that. It's very close to Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi, to the Prophet's Mosque. Alhamdulillah. She died in the year 58 of Hijrah, the 58th year after the Hijrah. That's when she died. And she willed that Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anha, radiallahu ta'ala anha, lead the funeral prayer upon her. Then, is she better or is Khadija better? Some said she is better, others said Khadija is better, and others said nothing. Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, and I asked Shaykhuna Ibn Taymiyyah, and I asked our Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah about this, and he said in response, اختص كل واحدة منهما بخاصة. Each one of them had its her own qualities. Khadija كان تأثيرها في أول الإسلام. Khadija's influence was in the early stages of Islam, and she كانت تسلي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وتثبته وتسكنه. She used to comfort and give support to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and offering her wealth, and so she really achieved the establishment of Islam. And she tolerated the hurt for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the sake of His Messenger, and her victorious stand with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in support came at the most needed time. Aisha radiallahu anha, on the other hand, her influence was in the latter part of Islam, where she achieved that high state of fiqh in deen and in propagating it to the ummah. And everyone therefore benefited in that which she provided of knowledge. This is what Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah related from the saying of Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. Now, the fourth one is Hafsa bint Umar ibn al-Khattab. Hafsa, the daughter of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He married her in the third year of Hijrah. She died in the seventh or eighth year after Hijrah. The 28th. The fifth one is Zainab bint Khuzaymah. She used to be called the mother of the poor and needy because of her care of feeding the poor and needy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with her. She died with him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after she joined him, 2 months after she joined him. The sixth one, Umm Salama, Hind bint Abi Umayyah. It is said that she was the last to die of his wife sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is said that she died in the 62 years after Hijrah, and she was buried in Al-Baqiyah, and the Prophet ﷺ married her in the 4th year after Hijrah. And from her qualities is that Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet ﷺ while she was there with him. So she saw Jibreel in the form of Dahya al-Kalbi. In the form of Dahya al-Kalbi, as in Sahih Muslim, where it said that Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there was Salama, and he started speaking. Then he stood up, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi told Salama, "Who is this?" Referring to Jibreel alayhi salam. And then she saw him in that form, in the human form of the name Dahya al-Kalbi. And in this there is evidence that the angels do take certain forms. There is evidence in this hadith that the angels take certain forms, and Jibreel alayhi salam came in the form of the human and on the form of Dahya al-Kalbi. The seventh, Zainab bin Jahsh. The seventh wife is Zainab bin Jahsh. She was married to Zayd bin Haritha. Then after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded from above the seven heavens for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to marry her. And that's why she used to be proud of that, and saying to the rest of the Prophet ﷺ's wives, زَوَّجَكُنَّ أَهَلِيكُنْ, your families gave you in marriage, وَزَوَّجَنِي اللَّهُ مِنْ فَوْقِ سَبْعِ سَمَاوَاتِهِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala married me from above his seven heavens. And in this there is a very important benefit. This important benefit, this hadith affirms the fawqiyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the attribute of fawqiyya, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the seven heavens, and that it is permissible to affirm this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unlike the way of the innovators who deny the transcendence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above his creation. And this is one of the evidences of Ahlul Sunnah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the creation, above the seven heavens. She died in Medina on the 20th year after Al-Hijrah, and she was buried in Al-Baqiyah. She was the first to die after him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from amongst the rest of his wives, as was described by Aisha. Zainab used to work by her hand and give charity. The eighth one was Juwayriya bint al-Harith. The Prophet ﷺ married her on the 6th year of Hijrah, and she died on the 56th year after migration. Then the ninth one is Habiba, Ramla bint Abi Sufyan, and it is said that her name is Hind. It is said that her name is Hind. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to her while she was on her migration to Al-Habasha, to Abyssinia, and Al-Najashi gave her the king of Abyssinia rahimahullah, gave her her dowry from the Prophet ﷺ on his behalf, and it was 400 dinars, silver coins. There, she left Abyssinia and came to him, to the Prophet ﷺ, and she died during the rulership of Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was her brother. Yes, the 10th wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Safiyyah bint Huyay from Bani Nudayr, from the offspring of Harun bin Imran, the brother of Musa alayhi salam. So she was the daughter of a prophet, and her uncle is a prophet, and her husband is a prophet, and she was one of the most beautiful of the women of her times. He freed her sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this was one of her qualities. The 11th one was Maymuna bint al-Harith. This was the last one whom he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to. He got married to her in the 7th year after Hijrah, and she died in the 63 year after Hijrah, at the time of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Those are therefore the known wives of the Prophet ﷺ who actually got married to, and they are 11. They are the mothers of the believers. Imam Ibn Qayyim noted a very important point, and that is, some of them said that they were 30, but the people of knowledge who know of the Prophet ﷺ and his biography, they don't know of this number. And to the contrary, they deny it. So this is now the actual number, is the 11. What are their merits? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored them to be the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wives, and this is a great honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are his wives in this life and in the hereafter. Secondly, as a consequence and as a benefit, they became the mothers of the believers, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ, and his wives are the believers' mothers. And this is another merit and another quality that they have earned from marrying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thirdly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them in the Quran that they are not like the rest of women. He said in Surah Al-Ahzab, Ya Nisa al-Nabi lastunna ka ahadin min al-Nisa, in chapter 33. Brother Abdul Rahman, if you can help inshallah so that we can face, if you are able, in Surah Al-Ahzab chapter 33 verse 32, Ya Nisa al-Nabi lastunna ka ahadin min al-Nisa, wives of the Prophet, you are not like any other woman if you keep your duty to Allah. But they are even better than any other woman, and from their qualities is that none of this ummah at the time of the Prophet ﷺ's life or after his death can marry them. And this is their quality, distinguished from the rest of women. Also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed, Jazakallah khair Abdul Rahman, pointed for the Ummah that they are entitled for receiving a salah upon them, as in the Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Abi Humayd al-Sa'di radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they said, the companions, Ya Rasulullah, كيف نصلي عليك? They asked Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, كيف نصلي عليك? كيف نصلي عليك? How do we perform salah upon you? So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم defined the way to perform salah on him by saying, اللهم صلي على محمد وأزواجه وذريته. Oh Allah, have your salah upon Muhammad وأزواجه. Therefore, he included them, they are included in this dua, وَذُرِّيَّتِهِ, and his offspring, as you have salah upon Ibrahim and bless Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his wives and his children as you have blessed the family of Ibrahim. Innaka Hamidun Majid. Sadisan, sixthly, their preference to be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over choosing this worldly life and its adornment, as in Surah Al-Ahzab, Brother Abdul Rahman, chapter 33 verses 28 and verse 29. يا أيها النبي قل لأزواجك إن كنتن تردن الحياة الدنيا وزينتها فتعالين أمتعكن وأسرحكن سراحا جميلا وإن كنتن تردن الله ورسوله والدار الآخرة فإن الله أعد للمحسنات منكن أجرا عظيما. If you desire Allah and His Messenger and the home of the hereafter, then Allah indeed has prepared for the good doers amongst you an enormous reward. So they have chosen then, after hearing this revelation from Allah, to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Seventhly, they are considered to be from the Al Nabi, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in about them in Surah Al-Ahzab 33 verse 33. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Verse 33 from Surah Al-Ahzab. Allah wishes only to remove a rijs, which is evil deeds and sins, from you, O members of the family of the Prophet ﷺ, member of his household family, and to purify you with thorough perfection. So they are included to be part of the Prophet ﷺ family. Also, it's affirmed in Sahih Muslim and in Sahih Bukhari from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the dua, Allahumma ja'al rizqa ala Muhammadin quta. Allahumma ja'al rizqa ala Muhammadin quta. O Allah, give food to the family of Muhammad. So the family of Muhammad, so they are included as members of the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also, it's affirmed from the way of Aisha radiallahu anha in Bukhari and Muslim that she said, ما شبع آل محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم من خبز بر مأدوم ثلاثة أيام حتى لحق بالله عز وجل. The family of Muhammad did not achieve a state of, you know, fullness in terms of what they eat from the wheat bread which is mixed with meat soap for 3 days, you know, 3 consecutive days, until he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are included in the Al Muhammad, in the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they are connected to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and their connection with him is not lifted, and they are prohibited for being married by other than him in his life and after him, and they are his wives in this life and the hereafter. So the connection with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is established to them this reason of connection, this way of connection that they have, this special one with the Prophet ﷺ, takes that of lineage. And also it's forbidden for them to receive sadaqah, charity. And also this goes hand in hand with the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ الصَّدَقَ لَا تَنْبَغِي لِآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ. Charity is not to be offered to Al Muhammad, members of the family of Muhammad ﷺ. So they are part of the Al, of the members of the family of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they also from those are those from those who will receive their reward twice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَقْنُطْ مِنْكُنَّ لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا نُؤْتِهَا أَجْرَهَا مَرَّتَيْنِ وَأَعْتَدْنَا لَهَا رِزْقًا كَرِيمًا. As in chapter 33 verse 31, chapter 33 verse 31, and whosoever of you is obedient to Allah and His Messenger and does righteous good deeds, we shall give her reward twice over, and we have prepared for her rizqan kareema, a noble provision, and that's paradise. As far as our duties to them, we love them, we honor their status which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had honored them with, we respect them, and we believe that they are the mothers of the believers and they are the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hereafter. Abu Uthman al-Sabuni rahimahullah, in his message I'tiqadu Ahli Sunnah wa Ashab al-Hadith wa al-A'imma, the creed of Ahli Sunnah and the people of Hadith and the Imams, he said, wa kadhalika yarawna ta'zima qadra azwajihi, and so Ahli Sunnah see to the magnification and honoring of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives, may Allah be pleased with them, wa du'a ilahun, and invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them, وَمَعْرِفَةُ فَضْلِهِنْ, and recognizing their virtues and their merits, وَالْإِقْرَارُ بِأَنَّهُنَّ أُمَّهَاتُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and testifying they are the mothers of the believers. Having safe hearts towards them, filled with love, empty of any kind of evil against them, speaking good of them and defending their purity, and ridding ourselves from the way of the Rafida, the rejectionist Shia, and those and the like of those who imputed kufr, or they badly work to disgrace them and disgrace their honor and diminish of their status, defending them, responding to those who will do so, and also reading their biography and of their news and their etiquettes and their worships. They are the best of the women of mankind who learned in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam school, and many many other than that. Then comes the hikmah. What is the hikmah? The wisdom from having multiple wives for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It came to our attention that they were 11, and this is a very special matter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as far as the rest of the ummah, none can exceed 4 at one time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَعَ, and thus marry whatever you like from the woman twice, thrice and four. And from the sunnah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Ghilan ibn Umayyah al-Thaqafi, who accepted Islam and he had 10 wives, he told him, choose from them 4 and leave the rest. This is reported by Ibn Majah and others, and Al-Albani authenticated it. Also another Sahabi by the name of Al-Harith bin Qais said, I accepted Islam and I had 8 wives. I mentioned that to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, choose 4 from amongst them. No Muslim who believes in Allah and in the hereafter is to stand here and offer a position other than the position of surrender to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he has chosen for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no doubt in permitting this by Allah the Most High to his slave and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is profound wisdom in that, and noble objectives. The slaves of Allah are not commanded to search in exerting unnatural ways, seeking to know this wisdom, especially if it stems from any slight objection vis-a-vis the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or casting doubt about his rulings. This kind of search is that of the atheists and the heretics, al-zanadiqa wal-malahida, and the like of them who have weakness in their faith. As far as the believers in Allah and his messengers and in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nothing of this befalls them, and nothing of this touches their hearts that are confident and satisfied with the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were many benefits achieved in this number of wives with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In his marriage to Aisha, thousands of ahadith were preserved. Since she entered the lockhood of marriage while she was young, having 9 with him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know 2 of them died also, that brought an encompassing of so many affairs inside the house of prophethood, something known or unknown to one of them was known by the other, and thus a great benefit was achieved for this ummah in transferring and in transmitting many of the laws regarding interactions and relationships and manners, which only them were able to witness and live, as well as many other benefits. And finally, with regard to this topic, there is a warning from the position of the deviant sects regarding the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and particularly from the sect of the evil Rafida. And the Muslim will never cease to be amazed, and in what he reads in the books of these people, and what they utter about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives. Not only that, about the rest of the companions, from imputing kufr upon them, and other than that, and speaking ill of them, hearts filled with hatred to them, mothers of the believers as well as to the companions. Some of their authenticated sayings and or statements are as follows, and this really doesn't cover everything, but this is just to shed light, so that if anyone has a doubt, would re-examine his or her position. They were not pleased by them being named the mothers of the believers, and especially Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, Yara. Ibn al-Mutahhar al-Rafidi, he said, وَسَمُّوهَا أُمَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَمْ يُسَمُّ غَيْرَهَا بِذَلِكَ الْإِسْمِ. And they named her the mother of the believers, and they didn't give that name to other than her. So not satisfied for her being named the mother of the believers. And Muhammad Baqir al-Majlisi in his book Haqq al-Yaqeen, chapter page 519, he said, and our creed wa'aqidatuna fi at-tabarru', and our creed in ridding ourselves from that, we rid ourselves from the asnam al-arba', from the four idols, Abi Bakr wa Umar wa Uthman wa Muawiyah. Look, he named them idols: Abu Bakr, asnam, Umar, Uthman wa Muawiyah. And from the woman, arba'a, and four from of the woman: Aisha, Hafsa, Hind, Ummul Hakam. Sister Salafi knowledge, there is something with the file that you have sent. I could not open it, unfortunately. I tried today several times. It says that you have to convert the file, etc. So there is something wrong with the file. I couldn't open it at all. Today I tried, but I couldn't open it. So you may want to try, you know, later and check, you know, what type of file is being sent. It's a doc. It's a doc, you know, file. I know, and I tried to download it, but I couldn't. You know, it said it required special conversions, etc. So, you know, I'm sorry, but this is really what happened. And but at any rate, also, if you are leaving now, I will email you, inshallah, the answer for that question also. We continue with this Rafidi statement. When he named four of the women, Aisha, Hafsa, Hind, wa Ummul Hakam, and the like from them and their followers, he said, and that وَأَنَّهُمْ شَرُّ خَرْقِ اللَّهِ, and that they are the most evil of the creation upon the first of earth, on earth. And that وَلَا يَتِمُّ الْإِيمَانُ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَلَا إِمَّا إِلَّا بَعْدَ التَّبَرُّ مِنْ أَعْدَائِهِمْ, and that no perfection of faith in Allah and His messengers and in the imma and the imams except after ridding ourselves from these enemies of them. A'udhu billah. And also they have a special dua invocation which is called the invocation of the two idols of Quraysh, dua usanamay Quraysh, and this is printed in their books. They invoke day and night until our present time, and they say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, oh Allah, have your salah on Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, wal'an sanamay Quraysh, and have your curse on the two idols of Quraysh and to the rest, and they mean the two idols of Quraysh, Abi Bakr wa Umar, wal'ayyadu billah. Not only that, they attribute this invocation to Ali, to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Ali is free from their allegations. This has been mentioned in the book of Al-Kashani in Kitabi Ilm al-Yaqeen, volume 2 page 701, and many other like this. Really, I don't want to go through that. There are so many of this, but it really disheartens you know, the person of hearing these bad words about the Prophet's wives and the companions and the kufr and the imputation of kufr upon them, etc. But suffice in what we have said, and I would like to remind you that my really the excellent reference on this matter that I base my talk upon is that of the Sheikh by the name of, I'll give you his name, by a Sheikh, Dr. Abdul Razzaq al-Badr. He teaches at the Islamic University in Medina, and alhamdulillah, yani he's very well, and you know, alhamdulillah, established in sound knowledge. And he is the son of a Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad Al-Badr, who is a renowned scholar of hadith in Medina, and who teaches at Al Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Mosque. He teaches at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Mosque. He has the ruse there. This is his father, Abdul Muhsin al-Badr, and Abdul Razzaq al-Badr is his son. And his book title is Ta'ammulatun fi qawlihi ta'ala wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum, contemplating the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum, and their wives are the believers' mothers. It's a very useful treatise, and it has been recently published. 1420 1999. So this covers inshallah this important topic. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it of a benefit for myself and for all of you, and to make this effort sincere for his sake, and to bless this room and to make it inshallah a beneficial stay for all of you. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa jazakumullahu khairan wa barakallahu fi.